Howdy, y'all. Just before services, some gentlemen were over where I was sitting, was playing with my son, and he was getting rowdy, and he was looking at one of the books, one of the church books, and I realized last night when I was working on this message, he was riding a little riding horse that somebody had given us, and I was trying to work on this, and I heard him back there causing a rambunctious racket, and he said he was on Apocalypse. And I was like, you know, the kids listen at service. They listen. Today, that's what we're going to talk about. Title for today's short message is, Love Covers a Multitude of Sins. The inspiration for this message comes from two places. I've been working on a message from the book of Numbers for quite a while, and I thought, this message is hard and long. I need something more uplifting. Go back to some of the love messages I used to give a long time ago. So I prayed about it, something for the love category. And I was just like, well, I'll just go out on UCG website and I'm going to listen to a sermon or something. And boom, there it was. I found Howard Marchbanks from a few years ago on a short split sermon. And it was perfect. So shout out to Mr. Marchbanks. I called him up and said, hey, can I use your stuff? And of course, he has his notes placed there online too. So after services, if you're interested, I have printouts. He'll have his web address on UCG. You can download his notes if you're interested, or you can listen to it. It's a short split sermon, and he goes into a lot more detail than I do. If you would, please be turning to 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. We'll get there in a minute. When I was a kid, a very, very long time ago, I was looking at one of my father's college composition and communication books. It was entitled Rudy's Red Wagon. It was by Irving Rhine. In it, Rhine makes a point about logical errors that we commonly fall into if we don't actually take the time to understand what is being said. In his example, he has a cartoon about graffiti, and it goes like this. Syllogism 1, which is spray painted on a wall, which is what graffiti is the words, are the words, God is love. Syllogism 2, someone else sprayed, love is blind. Syllogism 3, someone sprayed, Ray Charles is blind. And the conclusion, someone sprayed, Ray Charles is God. Now, logically, that makes sense. Ray Charles, great guy, love his music. But he's not God. You see, the fallacy, the error is, just because it's logical doesn't mean it's true, right? So today, we're going to examine, in logical steps, the question, what is love, and why does love cover a multitude of sins? So we can start reading in 1 Peter 4:8. Read with me, it's just one sentence. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Let's look at some logical steps, correct steps. Try to understand what this is meant. This often quoted, but I believe not fully and powerfully understood thought. I think you'll find that look at this scripture is thought-provoking and perhaps helpful as we approach atonement. Part one, what is love? Is love a feeling? To some, yes, it is. Is love an action? To some, yes. Is love an idea, or is love a decision? Is love a command, or is it all of these? If so, in what order? Of importance. Here's a hint. God is love. So if you would, please be turning over to 1 John 4, and we'll start at verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. And first we're going to define, before we get there, the word love. In 1 Peter 4:8. Now, it's not important. The word is not important. But for scholarship, Peter used agape, okay? There's nothing profound about the word agape. It's just a word. It, like the English word for love, can mean just about anything. Any kind of love, which we English speakers use the word love for, good, bad, inanimate, like I love my car. What Peter or other apostles were referring to is this, and this is the important thing. Godly love. Godly love. So what is love? Well, for the purposes of this message, for the purposes of the Bible, the way it's used here, it's godly love. So let's read in 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. Not God created love, he did. Not that God loves, he does. Not that God knows love, he does. God is love. He is the very embodiment of love. It flows from him to us. Notice verse 9. In this it was manifested that the love of God towards us, because that God had sent his only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through him. In verse 10 it says, herein, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. I believe we would not know love if it were not for God. Because in verse 8 it said what? He that loveth not knoweth not God. Picking it back up in verse 10, he sent his Son to be, and here's the very heart of the matter. Here's the very heart of the matter. Propitiation for our sins. His blood covers our sins. Hence, God is love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And unlike Ray Stevens, who does indeed make some cool music, God is not blind. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. And lastly, a key thought. Remember this. Verse 12. This is important. It's important in this message. No man hath seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. I want to skip down to verse 19 now and pick it up there, because I think it carries the thought here even more perfectly. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If a man says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth also his brother. So the question is love a command? Yes, it is. How is this possible? How is it possible? Well, we know that the Passover lamb is an atoning sacrifice. And I'll read a scripture. You don't have to turn there. It's Ephesians 1:7. It's just one sentence. And there are dozens and dozens like this in the Bible. You know that. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. So, what is love? God is love. Okay? Part two, understanding covering. What is cover? As in, Christ's blood covers our sins. If you would, please turn to Exodus 24. Exodus 24. And we'll begin reading in verse 12. Here in Exodus 24, this is where Moses goes up to the mountain, and we have an example of a covering, okay? What is the purpose of the covering? Well, we're going to get to that. So in Exodus 24 and verse 12, I'm going to skip down to verse 15 for time's sake. And Moses went up to the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. A cloud covered the mount, okay? Why? Well, verse God the Father doesn't want to be seen, okay? I'm sure the people would have been frightened. No man has ever seen God, right? God the Father cannot be in the presence of corruption, right? Right? God's blood, Jesus Christ's blood, covers our sins. He is our mediator, okay? Verse 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like the devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So we see that there's a covering between man and God. All right? So what is love? God is love. God's Jesus Christ's blood covers our sins. And here we have a covering made of smoke and fire to stand between us and God. Okay, and now I know you're all thinking right now, well, what about the rending of the curtain? True? True? Yet still, when you go before God the Father and Jesus Christ in the Holy of Holies in prayer, Jesus Christ's blood covers your sins. Okay. We're going to move down to Exodus 30 and verse 10. And this is where the mercy seat is covered. So you see a pattern here, okay? We're going to talk about the mercy seat being covered in Exodus 30 and verse 10, okay? Exodus 30, verse 10. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. So here we have blood on the horns of the mercy seat, right? Once in a year he shall make an atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. See, and he was the only man that went in there as the high priest. And he put a covering there. There's something else he does there too, or is done there. Let's skip down to verse 35 and begin to see something different. A different kind of covering. Okay, and this is really interesting. This is what got me excited when I listened to this message. It's really different. You know, sometimes you live a whole lifetime and you read something, you go, yeah, that's really cool. And then you see it in a different light, suddenly you go, wow, kind of makes difference in my life. In verse 35, it says, and thou shalt make a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat it very small and put it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet you. It should be unto you most holy. And for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. In other words, don't make it your way. Make it the way I'm saying. And this is going to be important in the next scripture. Okay? It's an important thing that's being said here. This is a thing about understanding the syllogism and the logic and the conclusion. Do we understand what we're reading? And most of the time, honestly, we don't. We don't, because God's word is revealed. You can't just go in there and go, I'm going to figure this out, because you're not going to do it. I don't care how intelligent you are, and there are some really super intelligent people in the church, and they teach me a lot of things. But it's revealed to them, and then they teach us. Okay? It shall be the holy for the Lord. It's how it's constructed. Okay, part three. We're going to turn over to Revelation now. And this is where I was like, wow, really? Really? Revelation 5. We're going to go to Revelation 5, and we're going to see the same thing. We're going to see this incense. You know, when Aaron went into the Holy of Holies there in the temple, there was incense as a covering. Not just the blood of Christ, which he would put on the four horns, and the blood that he would sprinkle on the people, but for himself there was also incense. A covering. Why? Why? This is interesting. Why was there the incense? You know, as a kid, I see the Roman Catholic Church, they got these guys going around with the censers, like, man, that's a bunch of nonsense. And in some respects, it is. But also, the incense served a purpose. Again, it's a physical world, it's a physical reality for a spiritual concept. We're going to see the spiritual concept of the incense now. Okay? In Revelation 5, in verse 5, actually, I'll begin reading in verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and this is in Revelation, so you know we're talking John seeing this. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came back and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. God is love, or better, who covers a multitude of sins, okay? God is love, love covers a multitude of sin. Who covers a multitude of sin? God does. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So we had a physical reality in which we had a covering of smoke and fire for Moses. Then we had a physical reality for Aaron in the temple where he had the incense, and it had to be constructed in a certain way in equal proportions, and this is important because why? Here we have the vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. My question to you is if those prayers of the saints are not accepted, is it a good vial? See, he said, construct the odors for the incense in a certain way that I instruct you. Okay? When I heard this, I was like, wow, prayers of the saints. Now, and I called Mr. Marchbanks. I said, hey, my name's Chevy. I want to talk to you about this. He said, there's some things you probably shouldn't discuss, and that's fine. It's a sermonette. I get that. But I want you to think about that. That covering of the prayers of the saints, first, the blood of Jesus Christ, which covers our sins, and then these prayers of the saints. I find that profound. And that's why I said in the beginning, sometimes I think we don't fully understand or appreciate the power of the messages that we read in the Bible because we don't fully see the spiritual application. We get the physical application, but do we see the spiritual one? Let's review what we've discovered. God is love. Love, the word used for love here is agape. It doesn't mean anything other than love. But we're talking about brotherly love, but it's godly love sent to us that we then send to each other. Remember I said that this was important about how the covering was constructed in the incense? Because how we love one another balances that, right? Since it's our prayers, if I mistreat one of you, how are my prayers going to be heard without repentance? And how about your hurt feelings when you call out to him for that covering for me? No man has seen God, for God the Father cannot look upon sin. Corruption cannot inherit incorruption, okay? Jesus' blood covers our sins. Covering for Moses and the people was a cloud. Covering the temple was the incense. And the incense and the covering in heaven is the prayer of the saints along with Christ's covering blood. I'm going to go over one last scripture. You don't have to turn there. It's something for you to think about between now and atonement, all right? Something to think about. Matthew 6:14-15. God says, and this is a commandment, and this has to do with those prayers, those vials of odor of incense up there in the throne room, right? How I said they had to be in balance. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not also forgive you. But if you forgive not men, then neither will your Father forgive you. Well, that's how they can be out of balance, right? Those golden vials full of beautiful odors that God uses to cover for us, that's how they can be out. In light of what we just read in Revelation about the prayers of the saints, this scripture commanding us to forgive one another and the atonement, how do we go about fulfilling our part? Something for you to ponder. I love you all very much, my brothers and sisters, and I'll see you on atonement.